All right, we're going to go ahead and read the word real quick, and then you guys can have a seat. You know when a guy's serious when he brings out the Bible this big, amen? All right, you guys are in for it today. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went in and none came out. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of you men of war. You shall go up around the city once, and you shall do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. The 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast on the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him." We're going to stop there. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father God, we come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we ask that your words be my words and my words be your words, that we would be encouraged, strengthened, and comforted today by your presence and by the word of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Today is a good day. I might have to take my vest off. It's a little warm in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like to look around, so don't feel like I'm like staring at you. I probably am, but that's okay. I like to look around and I like to see what God's doing. So if you see me looking around, don't worry. I'm not trying to scare anybody off. I come across a little intense sometimes, especially when I'm under the anointing. I see things. The Lord shows me things, and I appreciate what he's doing. I just give him glory. God is good. Amen. And all the time, God is good. All right? We got that. I love those little phrases that we say in church all the time. As long as we believe him. As long as we focus on him. Amen. Now, when the Israelites were coming into the promised land, they had to prepare themselves. They had to get ready for what God is about to do. They had to learn how to trust him. They had to learn how to follow him and be obedient to his word. I'm still learning that. How many of you guys are still learning how to trust the Lord? All right, y'all should have your hands raised. Every one of you. Right? Because we're all still in process. We're all still learning what it means to trust the Lord with everything, not just the big things, right? I know when we get into a situation, we get into some trouble, and we start praying, right? We start crying out to God. And that's a good time to seek the face of the Lord. But it's even better to seek the face of the Lord in those quiet times. In those times in between the trials, the times in between the tribulation, the times where we actually have an opportunity to sit and to learn and to experience his presence. I'm learning how to do that. I'm learning how to trust him as I get up every day and I feel the Holy Spirit, and I feel the Holy Spirit say some things to me like, "You probably shouldn't have any coffee today." Now, many of you guys would think, "Oh, that's the devil. That's the devil. Don't listen to that. Coffee's good." And I agree, coffee's good. But sometimes the Lord says, "Hey, don't make any coffee today, or don't buy any coffee today." And later on, it turns out that someone bought one for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grab onto that testimony. Come on. Or maybe it just wasn't for that day. I like to fast. Don't say that word, right? It's a 4-letter word, right? But I like to fast. I fast throughout the week, and I've been fasting more and more lately. And I'll wake up in the morning, I'll spend some time with the Lord, and I just feel like, man, I don't think I'm going to eat right now. I think I'm just going to fast today. Or I'm just going to fast this meal and just see what God's going to do. I'm learning how to trust the Lord, because sometimes he's got something a little bit better. Sometimes there's a situation that we need to be prepared for in the spirit that We just need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We just need to listen to God more. We're going to learn how that works in our lives today. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. How many of you guys know that? How many of you guys love your Bible? Love your Word? The Bible was written by over 40 different authors, spanning a time of 1,500 years. Did y'all get that? So 40 different authors over a time span of 1,500 years. And when you look at the connections between the books of the Bible, the beginning and the end, there's over 63,000 connections amongst all of those individuals, amongst all of those books, all of those verses. Over 63,000 different connections. It is an amazing book. It's not just a historical document, although historically it's never been proven wrong. Try and grab onto that. Historically, the Bible has never been proven wrong. And so we can learn from it. We can learn from it. The Bible contains instructions for our lives, instructions for every season of life, from beginning to end, every situation that we face. Sometimes you can read the same chapter every day, and every day something else stands out to you. I like to do stuff like that. That's the way that I like to read my Bible. I get stuck on something, and I'll read it over and over and over and over and over again. It might be weeks where I read the same chapter or the same story over and over and over again. And I don't know what that's about. That's just the way that I do it. And it seems like God speaks to me that way. And when we get into certain situations, all of a sudden, those scriptures become very important. Those scriptures begin to speak into that situation, and we can navigate our way through those situations because the Lord has prepared us for that. Now, knowing the Word of God is extremely important, but knowing the God of the Word is even more significant. Knowing the God of the Word. As a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible gives us life. If we allow it to touch our hearts and not just our heads. See, in the New Testament, Jesus spent a lot of time debating and arguing with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were experts in the Bible. They knew the books of the Bible up until that point. They knew the Old Testament and they knew the prophets like no one else. And yet they did not recognize the God of the Word. Because it was all up here. It's good to memorize your word, and I encourage everyone to do that. I encourage everyone to have scriptures that they can grab onto in times of need. But I encourage you even more to get to know God. Get to know Him who wrote the words. Because that's where power is at. When I read, I'll read a scripture, and something kind of pops out every once in a while. Have you guys ever experienced that? Where you read, and all of a sudden, it's like, bam, and it just like punches you in the guts. Or it applies directly to something that you've been praying about. You guys ever experienced that before? Amen. You've been praying, it's like, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And you got this Bible app, and something pops up on it, right? And it's like, whoa. That speaks to me today. A lot of times, that is the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you. It's called a rhema word. Have you guys ever heard of a rhema word before? A rhema word is where God speaks directly into your situation in that way. He gives you a scripture to stand upon. And as we get to know Him, and as we get to know the God of the Word, He begins to do that more and more and more and more and more. The Holy Spirit begins to use the Word, and He begins to speak it into you. We have a family scripture. How many of you guys have a family scripture? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys have a scripture that you just like This is our family scripture, right? Our family scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13, and 14. It says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong, do everything in love. And we repeat that scripture. I say, okay, boys, what's our family scripture? And they'll read it out, because they memorized it, we've gone over it, and they'll speak it out. And those things are good. We should have personal scriptures, things that we have learned over our lifetime that apply to us in particular, okay? We know ourselves, right? Or at least we kind of do. And we know the things in our lives that kind of trigger us, right? Kind of make us stumble a little bit, some things that we just, for some reason, right? These are things that we have to deal with. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talked about a thorn in his flesh. Okay, that could have been something external. It could have been a person. It could have been a group of people, or it could have been something that he just struggled with. Everybody's got their thing, and we learn about that on CR, right? In Celebrate Recovery. Everybody's got their little thing. But God is faithful. God is faithful, and he gives us scriptures that we can stand on in those times. Okay, my personal scripture, the one that I learned when I was a young man dealing with certain things, is Psalms 18. And it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God and my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is my Savior in whom I can trust. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And we should have scriptures like that we can fall back on when we are struggling with things, when we are hurting, when we are, I just got to get through this day. Remember the word, remember the scriptures, remember the God who speaks those words. You see, Joshua spent time with the Lord. If you remember the different weeks that Pastor has spoken upon this, Joshua was a young man, and he was raised up by Moses. And he would go with Moses wherever Moses went. And he would go into the temple, and he would spend time with the Lord. And Moses would leave, and Joshua would stay behind because he loved the Lord, because he learned how good and wonderful it is. He learned that that God is good. You can taste him, so to speak. In Psalms 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And happy is the man who takes refuge in him. And so Joshua learned that. He found a hunger for God. And he wanted to stay in the presence of the Lord. And he would do that on a regular basis. And he would go with Mount Moses up to the mountain. And he would learn from Moses, and he would learn from the Lord, and he would learn how good and wonderful God is. Amen? You guys are a little quiet today. You guys got to do a little shouting. Maybe y'all should stand up again. Hallelujah. Now, because he spent time with the Lord, it qualified him. It qualified him to be a leader. Spending time with the Lord and absorbing him, getting to know him, learning from him, learning the word, but learning from God. You can't replace that time in the presence of the Lord. When you come here on a Sunday morning and we are singing these worship songs to the Lord, you feel the presence of God. Do you? Do you feel the presence of the Lord? Amen. Just like 10 of you. Anybody over here? Anybody over here? All right. All right, praise God for that. Anybody over on this side? You guys okay? All right. I got to make sure I walk over here and look at you guys a little bit. I don't want you guys to feel left out. I'm going to stare at you. God is good. Okay. We got that already. We got that established. Thank you, Jesus. But when we spend time in his presence, we are changed. We are transformed into his likeness. When Moses came down from the mountaintop, his face glowed because he had spent time with the Lord. He spent time in the glory. God is light. We understand that, right? Right? Okay, we understand that God is light. There's no darkness in him. And when we spend time with the Lord, we start to shine with his light. Have you ever noticed that? Has anybody ever come up to you and say, man, your eyes are so sparkly, or they're shining? Amen? If you haven't, that's okay. You'll get there. You'll get there. We're going to practice more tonight or today. We'll keep practicing until we get there. We'll keep spending time with the Lord until we get there. People I didn't even know would come up, and I'm not saying this because I'm not full of myself. Thank the Lord. My wife helps me with that. But people would come up to me. I'd be walking through a store, and all of a sudden somebody would come up and be like, man, your eyes are so shiny. And I'm like, yeah, let me tell you why. Tell you about Jesus. Like, oh, I can see the glory in you. I'm like, oh, you can? What? Now it's just gray. I don't know. Now it's just gray. But you start to reflect, you start to express the light of the Lord when you spend time with him. I'm not sure why I said that, but that's good. Now, God is different in different situations, just like people are different in different situations. And that's another reason that we need to spend time with the Lord on a daily basis, because sometimes he's going to present himself a little bit differently than what we're used to. Have you guys ever experienced that? You see, Joshua experienced that. See, a few days before they went in to take Jericho, he was out praying. He was seeking the face of the Lord because that's what he learned to do. He learned to seek the face of God, to make the right choice. Amen? No matter what it is, buy a car, buy a house, go to this church, go to that church, right? God has brought you here for a reason. God has brought you here for a purpose, right? You didn't make a mistake coming to this church today. God brought you here for a reason, and he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show himself to you. Now, we like the loving, caring, tender God. Amen? Oh, you come into his presence, and boy, is it good. Amen? It's just, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. And you want to just kind of curl up with him. Right? When you love someone, you don't want a lot of distance between you, do you? Do you want 50 feet between you if you really love someone? Yeah? 50 feet's good? What do you think, John? Is that good for you and your wife? No. 10 feet? No? No? 5 feet? Close enough, right? No feet. You want to be right next to them? Yeah? Let's apply that to God. Let's apply that to the one who created us, right? We just want to get close. We just want to curl up next to him. Sometimes God's not that way, though. Sometimes God's a little bit more intense, right? Sometimes God's a little bit fired up. When the Israelites came into the promised land the first time, the people were betrayed by their leaders. Their leaders allowed fear to enter their hearts, and that fear was transferred to the Israelites. They spread it throughout the camp. Are you guys getting me? Okay. You guys understand that concept, right? When your leaders are not walking with the Lord, and I'm talking about any situation that we face, not just the church, but when there's leadership that's not walking with the Lord, that is transferred to the people. Okay? And so these leaders came back from the promised land, and they spread fear throughout the camp. And it caused an entire generation to move away from God. And that generation wasn't allowed to enter into the land of promise. And so God had to raise up another generation, the next generation, to come into the land of promise. A generation that would not allow fear to enter their hearts. A generation that was going to stand strong and stand firm for the Lord. If you're under the age of 35, would you do me a favor and just stand? All the way down. All right, if you guys are under the age of 35, would you stand for me? Come on, it's okay. I'm not going to ask any questions. All right. Hallelujah. I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. All right. Now, if you guys are over the age of 35, I want you to pray for these people. I want you to pray for our next generation. I want you to pray for them. There's a calling on your life. You got to stop running from it. God is raising up another generation that will have a boldness and an authority that many of us have never experienced. And it's not our job to be jealous. It's not our job to tell them what they can and can't do. If you're over the age of 50, you don't have to stand up. Many of you guys may not get there. But when you guys are a little bit older, we need to raise them up. We need to look at them. We need to raise them up. We need to raise up our children. We need to raise up our youth, our young adults, our 20s and 30s, because God has a calling on their lives. We encourage the children to come up to the front, because we want them to experience the glory. We want them to experience God. We don't want them to be held back. We want them to know that they have permission to worship, permission to draw close to God. And we encourage our children to come up. We encourage them to get to know God. The children in this church are blessed. The children in this church are loved. Oh, they are loved. They are loved. There's a lot of experience in this church, right? Exhibited by a little bit of this. Moses took a hold of Joshua and raised him up. We need to take a hold of someone who is younger and raise them up. Encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them. Because that's our job. There's no retirement in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry. There is no retirement. You guys have an even more important job now, and that's to raise up the next generation so that they can go in and take the land of promise. They can go in and grab a hold of what God has for them without fear and take the land for Him. God is moving right now in our younger generations. And we need to get a hold of that. We need to encourage them. Sometimes that's a little intense, but most of the time it's going to be right where they need. They need us. They need someone to speak into them and encourage them. Everything in this world is trying to distract them from the purpose of God. Everything in this world is trying to cut off the faith and the belief. And yet, they're pushing through that. This new generation, I don't know if you've seen the research on it, but this new generation wants truth. They want to know truth. They want to know what's real. Because nothing in social media is very real, right? There's filters for this and there's filters for that, right? You can make a video any way which way you want to, and you want it to. You can portray it however you want to, but that's not real life. Okay. They need help navigating. They need help understanding. And as older individuals, we can't get upset when they start asking a bazillion questions, right? Challenging everything. Praise God that they do. Don't be offended if people challenge, young people challenge your faith or challenge why you believe what you believe, because they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to find what is real. And that means that we need to spend time with the Lord. That means we need to make sure that what we believe is real and that we can explain it to the next generation. Not condemn them, not judge them, not label them, but to encourage them and comfort them and strengthen them. I've been saying this for a little while, but I prefer to err on the side of freedom a little bit more than a lot of people do. Just a little bit more. Because it allows us to teach. It allows opportunities to explain. Does that make sense? If you're clamped down and there's so many rules and regulations, those rules and regulations don't make them feel safe. They make us feel safe. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Did you get that? See, rules and regulations make us feel safe. Because then we can predict the outcome. And that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted. They wanted everything to be locked down with rules and regulations so that they could predict the outcome. But that's not how God works. That's not how God works. God doesn't work within that type of format. He gives us parameters. He gives us boundaries. How do you know that? Well, look back at the first thing that he said to man. Go forth and multiply. Here is your playground. Have fun. But don't eat from this one tree. You can do everything else you want. But just don't eat from this one tree. This one thing. That's what he did. He didn't say, okay, well, on this day, you can only, you know, wake up at 8 a.m., Bedtime, you got to go to bed, whatever. Now, I believe in healthy regulations and rules. I believe in that kind of stuff. But when it comes to experiencing God, when it comes to coming into the presence of the Lord, when it comes to reading the Bible, when it comes to going to church, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is freedom to come into the presence of God. There is freedom. You can come in as much as you want. And I want our children to experience that too. I want our young adults to know that. Because there's power in that. When Joshua was praying, he met a different version of God than he had been accustomed to. He had been accustomed to the glory and the presence and the holiness of God. But when he met God just before they came into Jericho, it wasn't like anything else he's ever experienced. He met the commander of the armies of the Lord with a sword in his hand and an intensity that he has never seen before. You see, we get used to the happy, happy, joy, joy. We get used to the presence of God and how good it feels, but we need to also experience the commander of the armies of the Lord, where he says, okay, this is enough, cut it out, be done with that because it's hurting you. Amen? And when we're honest with God, he will tell us that. He will explain it to you. When I was going through these scriptures, and you can ask some of the other pastors, but when you're preaching on a scripture, God deals with you first before he deals with the congregation. He deals with you before you can speak up on the stage. Is that right, Pastor? Because when you go through those scriptures and you're studying those scriptures, God is going to deal with you. He's going to deal with your junk. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, Lord, these guys prepared to enter into the land of promise. They spent time with you. They spent days going through a process of purification. And I'm like, Lord, do you want me to do that? Do you want me to go through this process? And he's like, yes, I want you to give up sweets. You're thinking to yourself, oh, you made that up. No, I didn't make that up. I'm a German. I don't know if you guys know what that means, but Germans like sweets. They like their sweets, okay? And I tell you what, it was hard. It was rough. I had to give up coffee. I had to give up sweets because I only like coffee with lots of sugar in it. I love my mochas. I love them. I love them. I don't have to drink one every day. I can usually buy one and just kind of milk it out over a while. Like I'll have a little bit today and then have a little bit more tomorrow, maybe a little bit more the next day. If I get a large, I can like, psh, 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 you know, spread that out. Because I don't. It's not necessarily the entire thing, that like the coffee itself. It's the sweet. It's like just a little bit of sugar makes me happy, right? But the Lord said, no, I want you to cut out sweets this week. And it was hard. It was rough. And there was a lot of times where I could have just said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to take some coffee today because I really need some coffee today. I really need a little sugar today, Lord. We've got bags of Halloween candy left over. I don't know if you guys got that. But oh my gosh, right? But it was a process of purification. It was a process of me saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to obey you. And as we went through this week, I could feel the enemy attacking. I could feel the enemy trying to get in my head. I could feel the enemy trying to oppose what he wanted to do today. I could feel that. And one of the ways that he was trying to do this is make me sick. How do you know? Hopefully many of you guys know, if you're sick, you shouldn't eat sugar. Right? You shouldn't have any sugar when you're sick because it doesn't work with your immune system. And so I'm thinking about that this week, and I'm like, Lord, you were totally right. If I was eating all my sugar this week, I probably would have gotten really sick. I did get a little sick, just a little sick, you know. But when you're in obedience to the Lord, he becomes a shield over you. He becomes a shield over your life. His faithfulness. He is faithful. When we are obedient, it opens the door for him to begin to work in our lives. And he is a shield over us. And there's many, many, many times where people are going through stuff and people are getting sick and stuff like that. And I'm not. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm not saying that I was doing anything special. I'm just saying maybe there's something to that, right? Maybe there's something to that obedience. Maybe there's something to that just trusting God, allowing him to be our shield, allowing him to know the end from the beginning. See, obedience brings purification, and it prepares us for advancement. Obedience brings purification and prepares us for advancement. You see, when God gave Joshua directions to enter into the promised land, they were to march around the city once every day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. Now, when you study this scripture, and when you look at that, you're like, wow, that's kind of weird, right? And I would be, wow, that's weird. Well, let's just go in and take the city, right? Let's do it right now, right? Why not? We've got the numbers. God said he was on our side, right? God said to go in and take the land of promise. He just led us across the Jordan River in a miracle where it divided and we walked across dry land. Obviously, God is in this process. Let's just go do it, right? But he said, march around the city and do that once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around seven times. You see, the number seven in Hebrew, the number seven means completion. And what were they doing? What were they doing marching around seven times for 7 days? They were going through a process of purification. When someone touched something unclean, they had to wait outside the camp for 7 days before they were clean and could enter in. You see, this generation had been prepared by the Lord to move in confidence and in faith, but they still had to go through a process of purification. They still had to prove themselves to receive power. You see, everything that we go through as a Christian is designed to purify us and to bring us into a position of power and authority as a believer. Do you guys understand that? Is that something that you can grab a hold of, maybe? In the book of Malachi chapter 2, it talks about God being a consuming fire and that he purifies those who believe in him. He purifies them as silver refined in a furnace 7 times. And he wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy so that we can move into the land that he has promised us. Now, what does that land look like? A lot of us are like, oh, what's this land, right? Well, we're not going into the promised land. We're not going to go conquer some people. Well, God has called each of us to move in this type of power and authority. He has called us to take land for him. Not necessarily physical, but it is physical to a certain degree. But it's more of a spiritual thing. How many of us have stuff in our families that needs to be conquered? How many of us have situations at work that need to be conquered? How many of you guys notice that our society is struggling right now and that there's so many people that are hurting, so many people that are hurting, and that hurt and that pain needs to be conquered? That is what he is calling us to do. That is what he has given us to do. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a calling on your life to go out and take the land. The things that he has promised us. The things that he has paid the price for. See, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for nothing. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood so that we could be set free. So that we could experience healing, that we could be delivered from those things that grab onto us and try to pull us back. I know you all know what I'm talking about because everybody has their stuff. But he's promised to deliver us, to set us free, to empower us, to move in his authority. You know, sometimes, you know, in your walk as a Christian, sometimes it feels like when you pray for somebody, man, stuff happens, right? Just happens, bam. And then there's other times like, man, I've been praying for years and nothing's happened yet. And sometimes that's the way it works. Sometimes it's because, well, got to look at your life. Okay, what's going on in your life that is interfering? Is there something in your, are you as close to God as you used to be? Are you doing something that you shouldn't be doing? Is there things that God wants to remove so that you can move in greater authority? See, there's a price to be paid. Okay, now, there's a price to be paid. There's a price to be paid to move in authority. There's a purification that needs to take place. Now, the good thing is that God doesn't let us go on our own. He doesn't just say, okay, go do this. I'm going to watch back here. Okay, he's with us every step of the way. He is with us every step. He does not leave us as orphans. If God tells you to do something, or if God puts something on your heart, He will walk through it with you. He will give you the strength when you need it. He will provide. He will provide. All you have to do is just step forward in obedience. Last week, the priests had to step into the Jordan River. And they, as they stepped down, their feet got wet. Sometimes we do that, and we're like, my gosh, my feet are wet. Obviously, this isn't from the Lord. I better back up. That's not what God said. God said, step into the river. And they took another step. And then they took another step. And all of a sudden, then, the river split. Then they saw the move of the Lord. Because He was waiting for those priests to walk by faith and not by sight. He was doing something in those priests as much as He was doing something in the people. And that's what He does with us. Too many times you hear about this in this society, right? Right, we hear about this all the time. Well, what I'm doing is not hurting you. What I'm doing is not hurting you, so why do you care? What I'm doing is not hurting you. Well, yes, it is. Because there's people around you that are seeing it, and they're hurting. Your example enables others to do the same thing, so now they're going to be hurting. See, it works both ways. When we walk in obedience, the Lord blesses. When we walk in obedience, that same passion, that same presence, that same power, that same blessing is given to those around us. Amen? I mean, how many of you guys want that? How many of you guys want to be a blessing so that others are blessed around you? How many of you guys, only a couple people. Okay, well, let me say it again. All right, how many of you guys want to be a blessing so that everyone else around you is blessed? Isn't that right? I mean, come on. Come on. This guy in the Bible called Jabez, his name means causing pain, right? So when his mom had him, it was a rough labor, and so she basically called him the one who hurts me. You hurt me, man. So I'm going to call you hurt. I'm going to call you pain. But he didn't let that stop him. He cried out to God because he knows that God is in the business of changing names. He's in the business of changing destiny. He's in the business of changing the direction of our lives. And he prayed every day, Lord, bless me, increase my territory, place your hand upon me, take away the pain. And God did. God changed his life. Amen? God changed his life. The first generation had to be removed from the picture because their fear kept them from the promise. It was the cost of disobedience. Maybe by the time they got there, they felt a little bit differently, right? But sometimes that's the way God works. Now, we live in a moment of grace, right? Pastor says this a lot. We are in a season of grace, and the season is accelerating. There is an acceleration in the Spirit. There's an acceleration in what God is doing right now. And I want to say this again, especially with our young people, especially with our young adults, especially with our children. And we need to begin investing in them, encouraging them, bringing them to church, encouraging them to spend time at church, in the Word of God, in worship. You don't want to miss out on what God is about to do. You don't want to miss out on this. Bring them to Wednesday nights with Amy Our children's, our children's ministry is like second to none here. It is second to none. We have intercessors that pray for our children constantly, and they are powerful. They have paid the price. They have poured themselves out because they recognize the significance and the importance of our children. If the enemy of our souls is spending so much time attacking them, trying to destroy them, trying to cut them off, maybe we should, as believers, notice that and say to ourselves, they can't even get out of kindergarten without being attacked. We should pay attention. We should think about that. And we should begin to cover them in prayer. We should begin encouraging them to read their Bibles. We should be bringing them to church, encouraging them to come and to grow. It's hard. I know. It's tough. I know. Many a days I sat in the pew with a squirmy little guy. Didn't want to sit still. Didn't want to do anything. But we made it. You'll make it. You can do it. You can do it. There's a lot of people here that will encourage you. A lot of people here that will feed into your life. Just find one. Better yet, if you're over the age of 60, find someone. Find someone to pour into. That's your commission right now. Find someone to pour into. Find someone to encourage. Find someone to raise up. Maybe you feel like, well, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. Spend some time with them. Buy them breakfast. Read some Bible together. You can do it. You'll learn. You can learn new tricks. Just saying. You can. Amen. Amen. You guys should be gritting on that. Come on. Grab on to that. You see, the warfare that the Israelites engaged in first was spiritual warfare. We talk about that in the church. Spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare? Well, spiritual warfare is when we, by our example and by our words, and through the Spirit, take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We pray. We fast. We cry out to God. We walk in obedience. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, it says, "The war that we wage is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the evil in this dark land. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are powerful to destroy strongholds." Amen? Now we're like, yeah, let's go tear down some strongholds. There's some places downtown. I know there's some demons there. We're going to go tear them down. Right? I know some of you guys are thinking like that. I know you are, because I know some of you. But we need to first tear down the strongholds in our lives. We need to tear down the ones that are in here so that we can be set free, so that we can lead others into freedom. You see, this generation, this young generation that was about to take the promised land, they saw the works of the Lord. They saw what happened to those who did not believe. But they still had to go through a process of purification. They still had to go through the process of tearing down strongholds and allowing God to use them. Because we're going to learn next week that seeking the face of the Lord is a daily job. It's not just one-time deal. It's a daily thing. Bo, if you could come back up with the worship team. You see, we walk it out day by day. We can have a victory. You can feel pretty good about that victory, but then the next day we're like stumble and fall flat on our face. We're like, what in the heck happened? Right? How many of you guys have experienced that? I've experienced that. You're like, oh my gosh, what happened? I was victorious. I was a conqueror. Well, that's why we walk it out day by day. That's why it's so important to meet together. All right? You all come in on church and you experience the presence of the Lord. And it's good. And it's good to see one another. Well, what about starting a Bible study with some people here? Starting a life group. Right? Getting together throughout the week. Coming in on Wednesdays. Come to prayer. Monday night prayer. Man, I tell you, if you guys come to Monday night prayer, your lives will be changed. You will be changed. There's a calling on your life for prayer. Let's learn how to do it. Let's learn how to do it effectively. Let's put it to work. Amen? Let's put the Lord to work. See, he's the one who does it all. He's the one who makes it happen. It says the Bible teaches us that the battle is actually the Lord's battle. We're just here to walk it out, just like the Israelites did. I mean, how easy can it be? Right? Jericho was a symbol of demonic activity. It was a stronghold in a land where they sacrificed babies. They sacrificed their children to idols because they wanted to experience some kind of a blessing. They were afraid. They were driven by fear. Jericho, its walls were 30 feet high and 20 feet thick. They could ride chariots around its circumference. How intimidating can that be? Right? You can climb my wall. Go ahead, climb my wall, but then we're going to run you over with the chariot and cut you into little pieces. Go ahead, climb that wall. How intimidating would that be to a bunch of people who don't really have anything except a couple little tin swords? All right, think about what the Israelites had. Right? They've been wandering the desert for 40 years, and they've got these little swords. And they're going to try and take this stronghold of the enemy. How intimidating could that be? Right? How intimidating is it when you don't know when your next paycheck's going to come? How intimidating can it be when you don't know what's going to happen to your family because things are falling apart? How intimidating can it be when you feel like you've been rejected your whole life and now you want to be a part of a congregation, right? Or you've come in for the first time and you're like, whoa, this is just overwhelming. It's intimidating. But God is with you. God brought you here for a reason. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your family. Grab onto that. Yes, sacrifices are going to have to be made. But nothing that we sacrifice to the Lord is done in vain. Nothing that we sacrifice for the Lord is done in vain. God is good. Oh, yeah, God is good. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Woohoo, you guys got that one down. But God is good. You got to wrap your mind around that. There is no one in this room that is good. The goodest person here doesn't measure up to the goodness of God. I'm a pretty good person, but that doesn't mean I'm God. Man, he can do so much more above and beyond all that we can ask or think. He provides for us according to his riches in glory. According to his riches in glory. You see, when we start walking out in obedience, God is the one who fights for us. And the Israelites went out, they marched around the city, they were obedient to God, they shouted unto the Lord, and the walls fell flat. The walls fell flat, And they just marched in and took the city. No matter what stronghold you're facing, whether it's inside or outside, the Lord is with you. The Lord wants to bring you victory. The Lord wants to lead you through it, not only just for yourself, but for those around you. If you would stand. We're going to have some people up here to pray with you. My wife and I will be down here as well for a few minutes. And we want you to have the opportunity to receive prayer. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to do that today. Maybe you've never experienced being able to walk out in obedience to the Lord. Or maybe you want to, really, really want to, but it's intimidating, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's kind of scary. That's okay. We're here for you. We're here to help you. We're here to pray for you. God wants you to move in victory. He wants you to be victorious. And he wants you to show everyone. He wants you to show everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So as Bo leads us in our final song, and if you want to come up for prayer today, you're welcome to come up and pray. All right, we'll pray for you. We'll ask God's blessing on your life. We'll ask God to strengthen you and encourage you and comfort you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, come forward and pray with us. Come forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would seal these words in our heart. That you would seal these words in our heart. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise in all things and in every way. And we all said, amen.